still suffering. In the town of Lumberton, for example, we delivered 10,000 bottles of water this week. They're not expecting the public water supply to be available for use until November, and so they are still suffering greatly, and I ask that you continue to keep all of those people in your prayers and keep those congregations in your prayers that are working so diligently and so hard to distribute those supplies. I was talking to Paul a few minutes ago, and yesterday he was down at Goldsboro, where they have received their fourth truck load of supplies this week. Remember, each one of those trucks has between $85,000 and $100,000 worth of goods, and they've received four this week. It's amazing that those supplies, when they arrive, are usually completely depleted and completely gone within about 3 to 4 hours. Yesterday, if you had any type of communication, the Central Congregation in Savannah, Georgia, received their truck yesterday, and we have people that we love and care about at that congregation personally. Sister Tammy Rich is a member there. Her son-in-law, Jason Gamble, and Jason is the preacher there. They received a truck yesterday, and everything was gone in about 3 hours. And so there is much need still out there, but your generosity a few weeks ago with the contribution that you all made as a congregation is very much appreciated, and that work continues. I ask that you continue to keep those individuals in your prayers. As we study together this morning, I'd like for you to think for just a moment. I am a news hound. I have always been fascinated by the news. I don't know, from a small age, I believe that I didn't think the day was complete unless I heard the evening news. Maybe you were the same way. And still instinctively today, when 11 o'clock comes, I want the news on. I want to hear what are the headlines, what's going on. In our age, news has become instantaneous. I can't tell you how many times a day on my phone I'm checking the news, and I'm checking numerous news sites, like it's going to be different from one to another. But I'm checking, and I'm checking, and I'm checking, and I'm checking every hour or two, and seeing what's going on. We've become so connected with what's going on around the world. And yet, as I looked at the headlines this morning, as you may have heard before you came to worship, the news is not good. The news is very, very bad. When you look across the world that we live in, there's crime, there's terror. There are things that are happening across our world that make us shudder. We hear about the terrible things that are going on in foreign countries. We hear about the wars that are raging, that the wars that are on the brink of occurring. We think how terrible that is. And then you turn to the local section, and you hear that the same type of things are happening in our community. You hear about people being murdered. You hear about crimes against one another. You hear about the horrible things that people can do to one another. And you look at our climate today, and you look at in our country at the political climate that we're in, and you see the amount of hatred that's going on in our country. You see the acts of violence one towards another. You hear the rhetoric. You hear that the people that would be the leader of the free world, the leader of the greatest nation in the world, and we look at their characteristics, and they lie, and they do evil things, and they lack morality, and they endorse things that are contrary to God's word, over and over and over again, openly embracing, talking about the things that they would have our country engage in that are directly opposed to God's word. As a Christian, it would be easy to get discouraged, to see that day after day and to be overwhelmed by what's going on. But brethren, this morning, my message to you is that as easy as it would be to be discouraged, to be concerned, We need to remember one thing. Throughout all of the calamity that we see going on in the world, God is still in control. We must resist, as the people of God, as Christians, the temptation to be drug into the attitude of downridden disparage that the world sees today. And brethren, we have an opportunity as individuals to begin to change that attitude. There's an old hymn. I don't even know if it's in our book now or not. But I remember growing up as a child, it was sometimes sung. It was called Brighten the Corner Where You Are. Any of you remember that song? Brighten the Corner Where You Are. And it talked about you can't change everything in the world, but you can brighten the corner where you are. And this morning, we need to remember, and I'd like for us to spend a few minutes thinking about the fact that we can and should take comfort in the fact that knowing that God will take care of His people. In the Old Testament, we read numerous accounts of God's relationship with His chosen people, the nation of Israel. It was interesting, if you were in the auditorium class this morning, Brother Rod led our discussion in our class this morning talking about the nation of Israel and talking about the nation of Israel and their relationship with God. You know the history of God's chosen people. Numerous times it's recorded where these were the people, this was the nation that God chose as His chosen people. But time after time after time, they rejected Him. They rejected God through their sinful ways. It's amazing when you read through the passages of the Old Testament and you read after they were delivered from Egyptian captivity. It was just a matter of a short period of time before they began grumbling. They began grumbling about God, what God was feeding them. They began grumbling about what their fate was and they'd have been better off to have been left in captivity. God had rescued them, taken them out, saved them, parted the waters of the Red Sea so that they could safely cross over. And their attitude was to complain about what they were given to eat. That's just the beginning. Throughout the pages of the Old Testament, time after time after time, they complained. They complained about the prophets. They wanted to be like other nations. Give us a king. God let them have a king. What did they do? The kings were evil and did evil in the sight of God. Over and over and over again. God sent them the Messiah. God sent them Jesus Christ. And what did they do? They rejected Him. They crucified Him. God's chosen people turned away from Him time after time after time. There's one section in the Old Testament, one passage that I'd like for us to study this morning that gives us insight, though, into a very important characteristic of the Almighty God. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. We're going to read 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. That's going to be our text for our study this morning. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. That passage is the title of our lesson today, A Path to Healing. You see, in this particular passage, the context, Solomon has just completed the construction of the temple. Now you remember that Solomon's father, David, had wanted to complete the temple for God. But God said, no, you will not be the one to build my temple. Because of the sin that you've had in your life, because of evil that you've done, while I have forgiven you, you will not build my temple. But Solomon was allowed to build the temple, and it was a grand and beautiful structure. And in the verses just preceding what we read, they finished the temple in its magnificence and its glory. And God spoke to Solomon in 2 Chronicles and said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. When I read that passage, I'm reminded of what we read in the letter to the Romans, in Romans chapter 15, verse 4. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. The hope that I want to bring to you today for the world that we live in and for a path to healing is found in that passage in 2 Chronicles. In that passage, there are four items that God said are important. The first item, humble themselves. The psalmist, writing in Psalm 25:9, said, the humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. What is humility? Let's think about it for a moment. What is humility? I would suggest to you that Jesus is the supreme example of humility. He is completely adequate. He's of infinite dignity and of worth. In fact, in Mark chapter 10, we read the words of Jesus, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Biblical humility is not a belittling of oneself. It's an exalting or praising of others, especially God and Christ. When we talk about being humble, we need to think not of ourselves, but think of the Almighty God and to think of Jesus Christ. A humble person focuses more on God than on ourselves. An expression that I believe captures the difference between pride and humility. Pride is concerned with who is right. Humility is concerned with what is right. In James chapter 4, James writes, whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Verse 7, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and what happens? He will flee from you. Draw near to God, and what happens? He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts. In verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. The first point on the path to healing is humility. The second point is pray. God told Solomon, if your people will pray. Prayer is such a unique opportunity. It's an opportunity to talk with God. Do we think about that? Do we remember that when we can go to God in prayer, we're talking to the Almighty, to the Creator of the universe, the Creator of all things. And you're able to talk to Him directly. Through Jesus Christ, we are able to petition the Almighty God. We can achieve so many things. We can thank Him for our many blessings. We can praise Him for the glory that He has. We can petition Him for what we need and what we want. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 41, Jesus said, prayer would help us avoid temptation. Speaking to His disciples that had gathered with Him in the Garden of Gethsemane after they'd fallen asleep when He went to pray, Jesus said, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. In his letter to the church at Thessalonica, Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 said, rejoice always and pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And James, writing in James chapter 5, tells us that our prayers should be uttered not just for our own desires, not for our own wishes, but our prayers should be for one another. James chapter 5, verse 16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So the second point on the path to healing is prayer. The third point is to seek God's face. We must recognize the unique relationship that man has with God and turn towards Him and not away from Him. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1, it's written, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come. Young people, you've probably heard that verse applied many times. But I ask you this morning, there's an admonition there for a reason. Remember God. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Because life is hard. Life is tough. Life has challenges. And if you have remembered God from your days of youth, it will help you to deal with all the difficulty that the world has to offer. Answer to every difficulty that you face in life is found right here. Sometimes you have to look for it. Sometimes you have to dig pretty hard. Sometimes you have to have a tough skin. But I assure you that the answer to every difficulty in life is right here. Remember thy Creator in the days of your youth. God spoke to the prophet Hosea about His chosen people, and once again, their sinful choice to turn away from God. In Hosea chapter 5, I will return again to my place, this is God, till they acknowledge their offense. Then they will seek my face. In their affliction, they will earnestly seek me. Chapter 6, verse 1, come and let us return to the Lord, for He is torn, but He will heal us. He is stricken, but He will bind us up. Let us know, verse 3, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. The psalmist very eloquently wrote in Psalm 27, "Then you said, seek my face. My heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me or forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Verse 14, write this on our hearts. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. The third item on the path to healing. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Seek God's face. And the fourth element in our passage in Chronicles, turn from their wicked ways. The scriptures tell us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's not a person here, not a person that's lived, not a person that will live, that doesn't commit sin. We all sin and fall short. The greatest blessing that we have is that healing is available. Forgiveness and healing, though, cannot begin until we admit our shortcomings, admit our sinful ways, ask for forgiveness. But 2 Peter 3:9 tells us the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. One of the most reassuring passages in the New Testament is Luke chapter 15, the words of Jesus. Verse 7, "I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." Think about that for a moment. The Almighty God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and all the angels and the host of heaven will rejoice over one sinner, one soul that repents. That's an amazing thing for, and it's difficult for us to comprehend. When we look at the world and we look at everything and everybody that's in the world, they will rejoice over one. First Chronicles chapter 7 tells us that if they will pray, if they will seek God's face, if they will turn from their wicked ways, if they will be humble, God will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Four steps to healing. You know that the God that spoke to Solomon in 2 Chronicles is the very same God today. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If God will heal their land, if He'll forgive their sin, if He'll hear their prayers, then what is our path to healing today? What is our path today as a nation? What's our path today as a congregation of God's people? What's our path today as an individual? I would suggest to you it's the same. If we'll humble ourselves, if we'll pray, if we'll seek God, if we'll turn from our wicked ways, then we are assured that God will hear us, answer our prayers, and provide healing. What a wonderful message. What a wonderful assurance. What a terrific opportunity that we have. And I would suggest to you that in the wake of the world that I described earlier, in the wake of all the turmoil, everything that's going on around us that we can't control, we have the opportunity to brighten the corner where you are. You have the opportunity to determine that in your life, you're going to be humble, you're going to pray, you're going to seek God's face, and you're going to receive the peace that God can give. This morning, if you're not a member of the Lord's church, you don't have an opportunity to contact that. You don't have that avenue to go to God. But the Scriptures teach us that if you will believe, repent of your sins, confess His name, and be buried in the waters of baptism this morning, that you will rise a new creature and that you will be able to live a life where you have God who will watch over you. If you've done that and you're a member of the Lord's church, but you've fallen short, as we all do, if you have sins in your life that need to be forgiven, if you need the encouragement and prayers of your brethren, as we read, one of our opportunities in prayer is to pray for one another. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation this morning, we encourage you to make that decision. Come forward and let your needs be known together as we stand and sing.
When we walk with the Lord in the light.